I'm Michael Hawes. You're listening to Bobcat Logic. Cayuche pie. Here in Lillooet, we get a lot of tourists in the spring and summer. They hail from all over the globe, and one can hear snatches of conversations in many of the languages of Europe when walking down Main Street. The tour buses stop at several locations around town, and one of these is near our museum. Nearby is an Esso station, which has set up a picnic area on their property for these visitors and provides food and ice cream for those hot days. When you walk past here, two things occur. You hear lots of Aussie accents and you smell something wonderful. A quick glance at the menu board lets you determine that the source of the aroma is Aussie meat pies. You quickly remind yourself that you are a permanent resident here and thus that you should go home and eat there. You may waddle off to the post office to pick up your bills and those vacuum cleaner bags you ordered from Kamloops a month ago. On the way back home, you'll pause and look again. They really seem to be enjoying their meal. You promise yourself that one day, you'll try one. Exactly what happened to me just the other day. I had never had the pleasure of eating an Aussie meat pie, although I have traveled the world and I've eaten everything offered to me. I've had the usual chicken and beef pot pies while growing up. These anemic distant cousins of the AMP are tinfoil cups full of cornstarch, chicken and beef bouillon, diced carrots, peas, and worst of all, diced meat. The typical forkful yields up only enough meat to obscure an American 10-cent piece. The whole affair is wrapped in a pale, half-cooked dough which smells reminiscent of someone else's granny's rolling pin rather than your own. Personally, I detest pie crust, while I love many pie fillings. I make exceptions for thin crust pizza, spanakopita phyllo pastry, and anything with graham cracker crust. I've been like this since early boyhood, and it was much later in life that I realized I had the ancient gift of the colon whisperer. Just the other day, after over 80 hours of sustained high winds, I ventured forth to collect my mail and buy my tobacco. It happens that the Esso has the best price on that commodity, and as I approached, two tour buses came into my view. I had just cashed in a $5 lotto ticket a block before, and this brought my pocket total up to $10. I went inside and did something I'd always wanted to do. I asked the lady to fix me up one of them Aussie meat pies. I watched out the window as the picnic tables cleared and the buses refilled. They were just pulling away when my pie went into the warmer. While I waited, I had a nice chat with an elderly gent about the meal I was about to enjoy. He taught me that what made the Aussie meat pie different to any other meat pie, be it British or American, was the meat-to-vegetable ratio. An Aussie meat pie, he told me, was by the meat, for the meat, to protect the meat. It is merely laced with enough peas and carrots to add the tiniest bit of color and afford better traction. I thanked the man and the lady and carried my prize outdoors where I polished it off in the time it takes a kookaburra to sing. The crust was buttery, crisp, and very thin for such a robust pie. For this I was thankful. The interior was a lovely brown speckled with green and orange. The consistency was that of a person's first meatloaf before they learned to add an egg or any breadcrumbs. Thick enough to stand alone when dipped into, but ready to fall to the gums of an infant. The spicing was, in general, bland, as is proper for a dish of British heritage. This said, I soon found that the choice meat, fresh peas and carrots, had been allowed full expression of their own flavors. I was so impressed, I went home and proceeded to adapt what I had learned into something tangible. As a result of this, Cayuche pie was born. I will sketch out my method below for any interested parties. Recipe for Cherokee Swede's Cayuche pie. Take about 4 to 5 pounds of grass-fed lean beef, buffalo, deer, or moose meat ground fine. Fry it up slow and chop it into puree as it browns. If your meat is good quality, when you're done, you should not have enough fat to pour off into anything bigger than a spoon. Thus, you can save the meat drippings in a cup on the side, as they are mostly water and salt. Open up a bottle of Argentine Malbec and pour yourself a glass. Put on some Pink Floyd and crank it up. While this is ongoing, scrub up about 5 spuds, each as big as both of your fists. Skin them with a ceramic device and boil them down in salted water till they yield to a fork. Have the meat standing by in a tall pot with a spoon of olive oil spread across the bottom. Mash the potatoes with real butter and add nothing more to them. Put them in a clean bowl and set them aside. Wash up the stuff you've used already, change the record, and top up that wine glass. Get another clean bowl and crush up a 6-inch stack of stoned wheat thin crackers if you live in Canada, or an equal amount of stale baguette if you live somewhere else. Use a clean, smooth, fish-shaped rock that's been rubbed over with fresh garlic. When this is well crushed, add 1 egg, 2 capfuls of real lemon juice, 7 hard shakes of Worcestershire sauce, and 5 soft shakes of Tabasco. Wash your hands with particular attention of getting the dang soap off of them. In a small dish, spill out some oregano, thyme, black pepper, and dill so fresh that it smells like you're driving down a Texas highway in June with the windows rolled down. Start out with a 1/4 teaspoon of each. Open a big can of chopped spinach. The best is from France. After opening the can, drain the water off. If you've used the French spinach, there'll be less than a teaspoon in the largest size can. Roll up your sleeves and dump the spinach into the crumb bowl. Now, you will plunge into the stuff and hand mix it until it's like green drywall paste. Pour the plate of herbs into it and mix it up again. Taste a bit off your hand and see if, in your opinion, anything is lacking, and if so, go a bit more on that one. Set this aside and wash up again. Put the pot of meat on a burner and bring it up to heat. Dash on some crushed black pepper about the size of a silver dollar in your hand. Stir this constantly with a wooden spoon. If it's too dry, add the water you saved from frying the meat. Now, add a whole fistful of sabji ash amira. This is an easy-to-find mixture of fresh, sun-dried herbs from the mountains over Iran way. There are 5 kinds of leaves in this mix: cilantro, dill, spinach, parsley, and leeks. They're bright green, paper thin, and they swell up like Japanese seaweed when they're cooked. They will provide a taste feedback loop to your spinach mix. Take a single crunchy celery stalk and slice it into razor-thin half moons. Drop it into the meat pot and stir it in. It will be the last time you see it, but you'll taste it forever. Now, take a pack of Knorr's Cream of Leek soup mix and hydrate it with 1/2 the water they call for on the bag. Whisk it a while it's still cold and let it heat until it thickens up nice. When this is done, add it to the meat. Keep stirring that pot of meat and pour in about 1/2 teacup of the Malbec. When you get this up to a bubbling heat, take a small bag of frozen diced peas and carrots and add 1/2 to the meat. While that is coming up to bubble again, take 2 to 4 big tablespoons of tamarind paste and mix it up with enough warm water or meat juice or spinach juice to make it like enamel paint. Pour that in and stir it up. Watch that pot and keep scraping the bottom as things try to stick and dry out. When the little geysers of water diminish in number to no more than about 2 or so, it's done. Give another mighty stir and take it off the heat. Get whatever crockery you happen to own, as long as it's 5 to 6 inches deep, and grease up their bottom, sides, and top with a paper towel smeared with a little olive oil. Using a spatula, put down a compact, flat layer of spinach mix on the bottom. Keep it about as thick as 1/2-inch plywood. Wait till the meat has cooled down a bit, and then add a good 4 fingers of it on top of the spinach bed. Bang the vessel gently on the sideboard to get out any bubbles and to level it off. Now, you'll top it off with mashed potatoes as you would do for any shepherd's pie. If they're too cold and stiff from the butter, heat them up gently by any means available and then spread them on like cake icing. Bang it all flat again, and then, from about 1 foot high, dust some sweet paprika onto them till the tops look like parking lot snow. Turn on the oven about 350, and bake the crocks for about 20 minutes. The bottom layer aroma will travel into the meat layer, which will in turn seep up into the potatoes. Remove it from the oven and let it cool off. You can now slice out big slabs of red, white, and green onto a plate to reheat. Washes down equally well with fresh ground coffee, a glass of Malbec, or a Cooper's. Have a puddle of HP sauce on your plate to swab up with each forkful. Cayuche pie takes about 48 hours in the fridge to reach its full potential. Enjoy this treat and remember that when it comes to pie crust, just say no. Now if you have any pets, you might find that they're all parked around the oven staring at it like it was a baggage carousel at the airport. If this is the case, as it was at my house with Mr. Dusty Bones Esquire and my cat, take him on into the living room and try to distract him with some Cajun music.
1, 2, 3.
Looks like rain.